Well, as you know, we've been going through the book of Hebrews the last few months, and I think
hopefully by now, if you've been here, you know a few things about the book of Hebrews. But did you know that the Hebrews were persecuted? Did you know that the Hebrew Christians suffered persecution? And our text this morning, I chose this morning to read a text in which the author, really the only text in the book of Hebrews where the author mentions the fact that these Hebrews, the Christians to whom he's writing this letter, themselves suffered persecution for the name of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 34, read with me, Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 34. And the purpose of the author here is, you know, by this point in time, some of these Christians, the Hebrews, were seriously thinking about leaving Christianity, giving up. And he reminds them of the faith that they endured in their early days. He reminds them of the persecution that they endured in their early days of their faith as Christians, and that they need to continue to persevere in Christ today. So let's read Hebrews 10, starting in verse 32. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. And so again, the author here is talking about his audience and some of the persecutions that they endured in their earlier days as Christians. He says, you were publicly exposed to reproach and afflictions. So some of these believers were publicly censured, shamed, and not only verbally persecuted, but also, he says, your property was plundered. We watched a video this morning, which, of course, I didn't know that you were going to show, but that's a perfect example of Christians, those who have chosen to follow Christ, and other people come and destroy their house, destroy their property. Some of them went to prison. And scholars have tried to figure out, what is this persecution that the author is referring to here? Because later on in the book of Hebrews, the author says that you have not been persecuted to bloodshed. And many scholars have made a case for a persecution in 49 AD, which is mentioned by Suetonius, who is a Roman historian. Suetonius is not in the book of the Bible, okay? He's a Roman historian. And he talks about the reign of Claudius Caesar, who was the emperor of Rome, I think, from 41 to 54 AD. And there's a very interesting sentence here. He talks about the Jewish community in Rome. There was a large Jewish community in Rome, and he says, he expelled from Rome the Jews constantly making disturbances at the instigation of Crestus. Now, who in the world is Crestus? Well, the name Crestus sounds a lot like what? Christ. And the Romans, you know, Suetonius was using the records from Roman police. You know, they had no idea who Jesus Christ was. This is the 50s AD. Who knows about Christianity? It's just some small weird sect in Palestine at this point. So you change E to I, and it's Christus, the Greek word for Christ. And what many scholars believe this refers to is what Luke referred to in Acts chapter 18, verse 2. When Paul came to the city of Corinth, says he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius Caesar, had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And we know from history that in 49 AD, approximately, Claudius Caesar issued an edict for the Jews to leave Rome, to be expelled. And according to account by Suetonius, many scholars believe that it was because of a dispute about Christus. And we know from the book of Acts that when Paul entered into a synagogue and he preached the gospel, what happened? Many of the Jews believed, and what happened? Many of the other Jews persecuted those Jews who believed. And so it's not hard to imagine that as the gospel came to Rome, and amongst all the Jewish synagogues, as many people became Christians, people like Aquila and Priscilla. And if you've ever done a Bible study on Aquila and Priscilla, you should do so, right? Aquila and Priscilla were a very powerful couple in the New Testament. They hosted, they had church at their house. They led Apollos and many people to Christ. But people who came to Christ, like Aquila and Priscilla, were expelled, were forced out of Rome. And so in our text this morning, we have a description of the persecution of the Hebrews themselves. And if you know history, you know that within a few years, the book of Hebrews was written sometime in the early 60s. In a few years, a crazy man by the name of Nero would start a fire in Rome, or a fire started in Rome and burnt down most of the city of Rome, and Nero blamed it on the Christians and used that to persecute the Christians. And history tells us that he would dress Christians up in animal skins and sick dogs, wolves, wild beasts on them to eat them alive. He would dress Christians in wax, hang them from a tree, light them on fire as human torches, ride around cackling, laughing at night in his chariot, watching these Christian torches burn. I say this to say that persecution has been a normal part of Christianity from the beginning. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is five reasons why we should remember the persecuted church. And the first reason is because the world has forgotten them. Did you know that Christians are the most persecuted minority group in the world? And yet, when we read the news, you know, if a church blows up and 300 people are killed, or if 20 Christians are beheaded on live TV for their faith in Christ, then we have a little story in the news. But otherwise, the vast majority of persecution against Christians goes unreported in the news media. And I don't want to get political. Obviously, there's a political agenda in our country and in the West to ignore the persecution of Christians, because people want us to think of Christianity as a white man's religion, and it's not. It's not at all, right? Christianity goes way before, colonialism. Be that as it may, I don't want to go off on a little rant there, but the world has forgotten the persecuted church. And if we don't remember our persecuted brothers and sisters, who will? If we don't pray for them, if we don't stick up for them, who is going to? So we must remember our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, because if we don't, no one will. How many of you have seen this map before? Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to mention Fox's Book of Martyrs. Anybody heard of Fox's Book of Martyrs? If you want to know more about the persecution of Christians, the early church, start with Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many of you have seen a map like this before? I hope. Come on, raise your hand. Have you seen a map like this? Please? More people? No? Come on. If you've been a Christian, please tell me you've seen a map like this before. So this is what's called the World Watch List. We have organizations today like Voice of the Martyrs. I hope you know about Voice of the Martyrs. And Open Doors. These are Christian organizations whose vision is to monitor and to report on persecution of Christians around the world. And so Open Doors publishes what they call the World Watch List every year. This is 2019. And the World Watch List are the 50 countries around the world where the church is most heavily persecuted. We watched a video this morning about Christians in North Korea. And North Korea is the number one has been, as long as I've been looking at the list, North Korea is the number one place in the world where it is most dangerous to be a Christian. We watched from the video. If the government even finds a Bible, doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, finds a Bible on your person, you will be sent to a concentration camp where you will starve and die. But of course, it's not only in North Korea. And by the way, that's ironic, because you read the history of revival. Korea, North and South Korea, in the 1800s and 1900s, was a place of major revival. Pyongyang was actually nicknamed the Jerusalem of Asia, because there were great revivals in Pyongyang, and I believe one day that we'll come back again. But this is what missions experts call the 1040 window. You have latitude between 10 and 40 degrees north of the equator, and these are the places in the world where what we call the least reached with the gospel, and it also happens to be places where Christians are the most heavily persecuted. You can go on opendoorsusa.org and you can find out more. And it's important to remember the persecuted church because the world has forgotten them. And I wanted to read a story this morning. You know, on this list of the top 10 countries, you see here where the dark orange is extreme persecution, and these 11 countries are where it's extreme. There's extreme persecution. North Korea is number one. Many Muslim majority nations in the Middle East. Notice number 10 is India. That's very surprising. Did you know that India is number 10 in the world, where the 10th most dangerous place to be a Christian in the world is India? And I wanted to read a story from India. You know, if you go to opendoorsusa.org, you'll find a tab called Stories. And I think it's good to look at maps like this that give us an overview, the big picture of persecution around the world. But obviously, even more important is for us to be aware of the stories, right? Stories that Chu and Nuyi shared, stories of individual Christians. I want to read a story about a young girl named Bahaya. She's 22 years old, from India. Says Bahaya ran across the bridge while the villagers were chasing her. She doesn't remember what happened exactly, but she fell off and lost consciousness. The villagers took her from the stream below, woke her up, and then they beat her. Bahaya had been a Christian for almost 7 years, but this was the first time she was attacked because of her faith in Jesus. After Bahaya came to faith, her brother became so sick that the doctors could not help anymore. Bahaya's mother asked her to pray. God healed her brother. Bahaya's mother came to faith in Christ as well, but her father and brother did not. Bahaya and her mother were scolded and harassed for leaving Hinduism. That was hard, but it was light compared to what happened a few months ago. A lady in the village passed away, and for some reason the Christians were blamed for it. Bahaya and the others were thrown out of the village and fled to the woods. That night they were able to go to another town where they slept in a church. The next day they returned to their home village. We were verbally abused, and the leaders of our village held a lot of meetings about us. But we didn't see the violence coming. It was 1 week after we had returned to the village. It happened so suddenly. Bahaya held on to her Bible when some of the villagers dragged her out of her house. Women and men beat her with their hands. They hit her wherever they could. She shouted, "Why are you beating me?" "You're a Christian," they said. "You have to go. This is not your home." "But I live here. This is my home," she said. "Leave this place," the villagers told her once more. She was unable to protect herself from the blows and started to bleed. One person held her left arm and then another held her right. She squeezed the Bible tight under one arm and protected it as long as she could. Finally, someone yanked it from her, saying, "We are going to burn this book." They dragged her away, and while they pulled her through the village, a picture surfaced in her mind, an image of Jesus being pushed and kicked towards Calvary. Bahaya lost consciousness and woke up in the forest. Her mother, who had also been beaten, had a wound just below her eye. The other 19 Christians from the village were there too. One of them called the police. The officers only arrived late at night, and they brought other villagers with them. The police simply told everyone that we should live together in peace, and then they left. We went back to the village. But a few days later, the villagers became aggressive again. They called the Christians to another meeting. We refused to give up our faith, which made them very angry. They became aggressive because we were so persistent in following Jesus. They told us to leave the village, saying Christians belong to foreign countries. This time the Christians left. And Bahaya did not return. She went to a Bible school instead. Why? Because when they threw us out of the village, they threatened to rape or to kill me if I returned. The situation in the village has not been resolved. I want to spend more time learning about God so that one day I can return with the gospel. That's the promise I made to my mother. It's my deep desire to share God's word. I want to tell everyone that Jesus did not just die for foreigners, he died for everyone. That's the message to the people in my village, to the people in India, and people outside of our country. And here's the conclusion. Just one more thing. This is, it says that Open Doors found Bahia, and they provided for her basic needs. She said that support was so meaningful. I had no money and no clothes, and then you came along. We asked her if she has a message to the people who make our ministry in India possible. We expected her to say thank you, but instead she said something completely different. Don't be afraid when persecution comes to you. It's part of the Christian life. It's a privilege to be persecuted. Don't become sad or discouraged. It's stories that really challenge and inspire me and my faith. I don't know about you, but it's important for us to remember our persecuted brothers and sisters because their example inspires us. Inspires us not to give up our faith because they're not giving up theirs. It challenges us. You know, when we at church argue about the choice of worship songs or, the color of carpet or paint on the walls, doesn't it seem absolutely ridiculous when we read stories about Bahia, stories about Pastor Han? It reminds us of just how thankful we are in this country that, as Nguyen Chu said, that I can go to church with my wife. My wife's not feeling well today, so I guess I went separate. But normally, my wife and I go to church together. And in a different country, we'd have to take different routes to church in order not to be discovered and spied on and imprisoned. The simple freedoms we have in this country, and yet Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. So what are we going to do with this freedom that we have in Christ? Are we going to squander it for ourselves and waste it? Or are we going to use it to further God's kingdom? The final reason why we should remember the persecuted church is the most important. It's because the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 3, it says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, 26, if one member of the body suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. When we injure a part of our body, our hand, our foot, the whole body works together to try and heal that body. And of course, we are the body of Christ, not just our local church Discovery, but we are part of a global body, amen, of people from all nations. The Bible says that if a part of the body suffers, we are to suffer with them. And I don't know about you, I don't really have the money to travel all over the world and try to be there with them in person. But you know, most of the time when persecuted Christians are asked what we can do, they just say, pray. Pray for us. They're not asking for the persecution to end. They're not asking for more money. They just ask us here in the West to pray for them. And so that's how I'd like to close the service. I'm going to have Grant and Abby come up, and they're going to close with a song. But before they sing a song, I'd like to just take a moment of silence. And I'd like to ask you, right where you are in your seat, just to, as we just bow our heads and close our eyes, just take a minute or two to pray. Just between you and the Lord, pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I'm going to close in prayer, and we can close with a song. So let's just be quiet before the Lord, and I encourage you just to take this time yourself to pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters.